Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor 95, Lechu Neranana. Perhaps the most well-known psalm in the Jewish liturgy, as it begins with Kabbalat Shabbat prayers on Friday night. Psalm 95 is an invitation for everyone to join together and sing, shout out, and rejoice with God. It's no surprise that the 16th century Kabbalist Rabbi Moshe Cordovero chose these psalms, Psalms 95 through 99, as well as Psalm 29, to welcome the Shabbat day on Friday Eve, in the spirit of the actions of the holy Kabbalist Rabbi Yitzchak Luria to walk in the forest and greet the Shabbat queen. Although it's interesting to note that this choice was just one of those, and this was the one that was accepted, but other rabbis had different psalms they chose, like the Chandat Yamim, who records Psalms 54, 148, 45, 48, 87. Anyway, if Shabbat is the queen approaching, and Kabbalat Shabbat is about going out and receiving her, the first words of our psalm are quite fitting. In fact, the entire cohort of psalms, which are filled with positivity, spirituality, and the feeling of going out and receiving God's presence, so much so that all of nature is engaged in this endeavor. Psalm 95, then, is the introduction to this set of spiritual prayers, declaring Shabbat's arrival in God's presence. Of course, it was never written with the intention of Shabbat. It was written as a prayer of coronation, of receiving God. But the rabbis made the jump from receiving God to receiving the queen of Shabbat. Psalm 95 can be divided into two sections, verses 1 to 5, which describe the universal call to sing, pray, and rejoice in God's arrival, and verses 6 through 11, which describe the national version of that glorious declaration to go out and rejoice in God's imminence. These two sections, while appearing quite parallel, end up being drastically different, with the first universal one being filled with joy and positive energy, while the second national section ends up quite depressing. Now note the formula of each section. L'chu nirana l'adonai nariya l'tzu yishenu nikadma pana b'toda b'zmiror nariya lo. Ki el gadol adonai melech gadol el kol lohim. Asher b'yado mechkarei aretz v'tarfo tarim lo. Asher lo ayom. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before the presence of with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his and he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Verses 1 and 2 begin with an invitation to rejoice, greet, and sing to God. Verses 3, 4, and 5 provide the reason. Key for a share that God is greatest. He fashioned all. He formed the sea, the land. It's all his. Section 2 follows the same format, at least partially. Bo nishtachaveh v'nichra'a nivrcha lefnei Adonai Yoseinu, ki hu Eloheinu v'anachnu am haritzo v'tzon yado. Come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, sheep of his hand. But upon analyzing these two introductions, we notice a problem with one version. On the one hand, the second version of greeting God is more intense, more active, worshiping, bowing down, acknowledging God, our creator. As well, the reason is more intense and personal than the first reason. For he is our God, and we are his nation, his flock. It seems then that going from universal, impersonal, to national, subjective, and God's nation is an elevation, and therefore more important. One would think so. Yet we stopped our analysis on verse 7 in the middle, because that's where the tenor of the psalm shifts. In the middle of verse 7, something changes. Hayom im bekolo tishmau. Today, if you would only listen to his voice. Al takshu levavchem kimiriva ki yom masa b'midbar. Do not harden your hearts like you did in Miriva, like you did in the day of Masa, in the wilderness. Asher nisuni avotechem b'chanuni gamru po'ali. When your fathers tempted me, tested me, they saw my deeds. Arba'im shana akut b'dor. For 40 years, I loathed that generation, or I fought with that generation. Va'omar am to'e livavim. And I said, they are a people who err in their heart. V'him lo yadud rachai, they didn't know my way. Therefore, I swore in my wrath that they would not enter into my land. Greeting God on Shabbat as a member of all creatures of the world is a wonderful thing. Indeed, much of the following Psalms mention how wonderful it is that nature, kings, nations, all tremble in the presence of God and sing his praise. And when we Jews sing out to God as part of that collective, universal family, we too share in the joy of calling out to God without much more responsibility. But as the nation of God, with the mission that we accepted upon ourselves to become a Melechet Kohanim Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and holy nation, well, that entails much more responsibility. And the stakes there are way higher. If we follow in God's ways, then we are a role model for the world and receive the rewards of closeness to God and anything that entails. If, however, we fall short, we test God, we complain, we reject, we lose faith, well, then we incur God's wrath. That's the point of this psalm. Even though it's an introduction to receiving the presence of God, and it should be the most joyous occasion, and indeed it is for most of the world, but for his holy nation, who isn't acting so holy, it's a sad cautionary tale. It's funny that we sing the last few lines of Psalm 95, and often with great gusto. The reality is it is a biting critique of Israel, a reminder to never boast of our election, because if we do not fulfill a part of the covenant, it's the greatest desecration of God's name. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. That's a tough line. An abiding rebuke of the Jewish people and their history. Sinning immediately upon receiving the presence of God. Sinning days after receiving the Torah. Sinning by rejecting the promised land. For those reasons, the psalm ends on a most tragic note. Wandering in the desert, not fulfilling the command of the great moment of God's revelation. It would take another generation, the children, who learned every day with Moshe. They will be ready to enter the land, and they would appreciate the fortune it is to receive God's presence and to revel in God's closeness to the nation. Interestingly, somewhere in the middle of the psalm, the narrative was taken over by God. In the beginning, the psalmist says, "Let us sing as part of the world." In verse 6, he said, "Let us bow as part of Israel." But by verse 8, God took over the psalm. "You want to bow? You want to sing to me as my nation? Stop testing me. Stop making me punish you." Unfortunately, what began as the most joyous coronation of God ends for Israel as a dangerous lesson to be learned, in hope that the next call will be received with more trepidation and honor of God.